Are you glad for the word?
Yeah.
It was awesome having my wife and my little girl up here. And I was thinking, you know, I can't describe how much I love those kids. They're on my mind all the time. I don't even know how to say it. But when I think about that, I encourage you to know how much God loves you.
Yeah,
that, you know, my kids, I would not give a single one of them for any of you. I admit that, you know, and that's okay. And I don't think you'd give any of your kids for me. And I would never, ever, not one person in the whole world would I give up my kids for. I just wouldn't. But God did that for us. Praise God. He gave up Jesus for us. Hallelujah. And the Bible says, one scripture, Jesus was talking to a group of parents, and he said, you know, if your child asks for something to eat, would you give them a stone? And the obvious answer to that is no. And Jesus answered, well, if they were hungry, would you give them a snake? Well, a snake could hurt a child, couldn't it? And the obvious answer is no. And Jesus said, well, then, if you being evil then. And when he says, if you being evil then, he's talking about good earthly parents who are right there saying, no, we would do everything we could to provide for our kids. He said, well, if you then being evil know how to give good gifts unto your children, how much more shall your Father which is in heaven? And so I just saw her sitting there. I was like, man, I love that girl so much. But yeah, it doesn't even compare to the Father's love for me. And he loves you so much this morning. He cares so much about you, you know. Life happens and it can seem like you're all alone. It can seem like you've been forsaken, but he hasn't forsaken you. The Bible says, draw near unto God, he'll draw near unto you. Amen. He's just waiting for you to come closer. So God loves you this morning. Amen. Praise the Lord. Well, if you have your Bibles, you can open them to John chapter 4. Hallelujah. I'll tell you, when you meditate on the love of God, it'll kick self-esteem. I had self-esteem problems growing up, self-conscious issues growing up. And, you know, it was amazing. You know, I excelled in sports. I had friends. I had a good family. But, man, I always just had dealt with not feeling good enough and being good enough and not happy with myself. And it led to a lot of dark things in my life. You know, when you meditate on the God of the universe loved you so much that if you were the only one that would have accepted Jesus, he still would have sent him on the cross. I'll tell you, it kicks those feelings right between the eyes. Those feelings of not feeling worth anything, that you're not special, that what can God do with your life? My goodness, God gave everything for you. You can see what something is worth by what somebody's willing to pay for it, right? He paid for you with the blood of Jesus. He proved to you how valuable you are to him. So I don't know why I said all that, but somebody needed it this morning. Hallelujah. Let's pray before we get into his word. Father, we love you because you first loved us. And Lord, we can't grasp with our natural minds how much you love us, how much you care for us. But Father, we can see some things, Lord, in your word concerning your love for us. And number one, that you gave us Jesus. Father, that forever proves to me, that forever demonstrates that God is on my side, that you care for me. And Father, I just love you. Lord, you've given us your word to not be in the dark down here, Father. Lord, if everybody on planet Earth would just do the Bible, everything would be fixed. Father, everything in our personal lives would be fixed if we would just do your word. And Father, that shows us the power of your word, and we're so thankful that you've given it to us. We're so thankful, Father, for your love and for your kindness. Father, as I minister this morning, may my words not be my own, but that of the Holy Ghost. May I speak words from heaven this morning. And I thank you that every single person here is going to get something that's pertinent to their lives, Father. That's going to be a bullseye to where they're at. And Father, it's going to be a sign unto them that you love them, that you care for them, and that this is why, Father, we gather together. This is why we come to hear your word. And Lord, we give you the praise, we give you the glory for it. In Jesus' name, amen. You know, along those lines that I was just sharing about God's love, you know, the Lord led me last August 20th. I was on a walk with my yellow lab, and God always speaks to me. I'm on a walk with my dog for some reason. Some of the most major things God's ever told me, I've been on a walk with my dog, and so I just like to walk my dog because then I hear from God, you know, and he told me to write a book on his goodness, and so I did. I wrote the book in probably about 3 days, and I let it sit on my computer for a long time because, again, self-conscious issues, like, what the heck you think you're doing, and all this stuff, and the Lord dealt with me, get that thing out, and so I've just been going over it, and it should be out before Thanksgiving. But the good thing about the book is it's going to be a tool for all of us to hand out to people, family and friends. You know, sometimes you can't get people within these four walls, and it's hard to get them born again. Maybe you don't have a relationship where you can talk to somebody. But, man, in that book, it's going to lay out what God did for us. It's going to lay out things that prove in his word how much he loves us, how much he cares for us, how much he's for us. And at the end, it's going to have my testimony about, you know, when I was in the fall of 1996, when I was in that car with that 357 Magnum and the hammer cocked and in my mouth ready to pull the trigger, and God gave me the vision. And it's going to have that in there. And then how I was led to the Lord. And it's going to have an easy step through, step by step, of showing people how to be born again. And so it's going to be an awesome tool for our family members and for people in the community that we can hand out. It's not going to be thick and overwhelming. It's going to be just a good readable size, and it's going to be a blessing. Praise God. And so I'm excited about that. And so we'll get that out as soon as possible. It'll encourage you and help you. And so that's on its way. I forgot to announce that during announcements, but I've been on the phone with the publishers this week, and that's the timetable they're giving me. So John chapter 4, you know, last week we looked at the fact that, if you don't remember, I'll tell you, that the body of Christ and the plan of God does not go forward without people, right? I mean, Jesus isn't coming out of the earth to start churches. Jesus isn't coming out of heaven. Jesus isn't coming out of heaven to go tell people in foreign countries. Jesus isn't setting up outreaches. Jesus isn't being a missionary. He's expecting his people to do that, right? Jesus, you know, the pastor can't do everything in the church. We have people that serve in nursery, people that are ushers that count the offering, that do the sound and the music, that do different things for us that help us. Why? Because pastor can't do it all. Jesus can't do it all. The body of Christ is important. We saw prayer is important. And we use this in the terms of finances. Because, you know, God's called us to do a building. God's placed things on my heart. You know, there's already two other books now. The Lord gave me another book in my spirit that I'm supposed to write. And it's so funny that he's doing this for me, because I am not studious. I hated school. I didn't like to do anything with English and stuff. And so someone has to edit everything I type as far as the grammar and sentence structure and all that, because I know what I want to say, but I don't know how to make it look good on a piece of paper. And he just this week said, you need to write one on another subject. And so there's two more. And these things cost money, but they're things that will get people saved. Starting other churches and doing outreaches in this community and being a blessing. And so the plan of God that God's put in my heart is big. My vision is very big. And it doesn't matter to me that we're only a church in a town of 600 and some people. I don't care about that. Numbers mean nothing to me. And so he given me a lot of things on my heart, but I can't carry these out altogether. And if you saw my salary, you'd say, you're darn right you can't. And so we need people to be a blessing financially. We need people to obey God financially. And we'll see in this series that the plan of God won't go forward without people being faithful in tithes and offerings. That if we think that God called us to build a building, he'll pay for it somehow. Yeah, God's looking at you to pay for it. God's looking at for Christians. The sinner's not paying for it. The sinner's not paying for the outreaches. The sinner's not praying for the books that we'll be able to use. The sinner's not praying to start other churches. God looks for his people to do it. But also there's a blessing that we'll see for being generous and for doing the word of God. That God never just requires us to give, give, give. He always says, listen, you put me first, and don't you worry about a thing. And so, praise God, we'll look at that. And then in my thinking, I thought, well, today we're going to start on that. And I had a red light in my spirit, like a stop sign, that said no. And so I had to find out what that meant, because I was preparing for what I knew the next step in the series would be, or what I thought it would be. And there was a red light in my heart. And the reason being is because the Durants are here next week, and I don't want to stagger these. The Lord said, don't stagger these messages on this financial series, because they need to be back-to-back, because people, if you say it one time and then someone comes in and preaches something else, they're going to preach the Bible, but they might not preach on finances. And then they come back in, and then we come back and we forget everything, and I have to reteach everything that we learned the week before the Durants are here. And so he said, hold off. But he said, what he gave to me is in line with what we looked at last week, and kind of what has been on the cusp here at this church of trying to get people to look more like the Bible. And what I want to talk to you about today, it has everything to do with what we talked about last week, and that the plan of God is hindered when people don't do the right thing. Remember when Jesus was in his own hometown and he wanted to heal? God was ready to heal. Jesus was ready to heal, but the people weren't ready. They didn't have faith. And the Bible says Jesus couldn't do there any mighty work. And so the works of God went undone. Unfortunately, many people that day missed out because their faith level, because they didn't do what they're supposed to. And we're going to see today that there's something in the Bible, that there's a blessing to God, there's a blessing to the body of Christ, but also there's a blessing to us. I'm glad God always puts blessings in for us, because I think in selfishness, not this church, we'll say other churches, but not that a lot of people, if it doesn't pertain to them personally, they tune you out. To me, I have the soldier mentality in the body of Christ, that whatever you say, sir, I don't care how it benefits me or blesses me. If you want me to do it, I'll do it. You know, when it comes to tithing and serving him and doing everything, I don't care if there's a blessing for me. Now, thank God There are, and we're glad for those things, but it wouldn't matter to me if his commandments didn't have any blessing attached to them. But that's how good God is. He always attaches blessings to his commandments. And so there's always something in it for us, praise the Lord. And so don't tune me out. But what we're going to look at today is the area of praise and worship. And I know I've just been kind of skimming off the top a little bit and showing you. And it's a topic that people don't understand that they're missing out in their own life, and that the body of Christ is being hindered when people are not on the same page with praise and worship. That, you know, people have their own ideas of what praise and worship looks like, and they almost get downright defensive about it. I remember talking to one person and saying, I take that back. Pastor Tim talked to some person about it, and this person told them. They were showing them, and Pastor Tim told me, showing them what biblical worship looked like. And he said, I don't care what the Bible says. I'm going to worship God my own way. That's dangerous, because when you're not a doer of the word, you're not blessed. And when you're not a doer of the word, God's plan doesn't go forward. And so I want to show you biblically, why does Pastor Mike talk to you about praising God? Why does Pastor Mike talk to you about raising hands? Listen, just so you know, it's not because I want my church to look Pentecostal or I want my church to look churchy. I could care less. I've told you this, and I mean it, and I don't mean this to be derogatory. If the Lord said to do cartwheel while picking my nose, and that's praising him, you better believe your pastor would be perfecting his cartwheels and practicing picking his nose. Amen? I would do that. I just am all in with God, and so I want whatever he says, but also people need to see what the Bible says. You can't just expect people to just know. And so today the title of the message is going to be, what's the big deal in worshiping? Now, I don't most of the time give you titles, but what's the big deal in worshiping? Well, we're going to look at four things. It's not probably not going to take very long to look at these four things that is the big deal. I say it's not going to take very long, and you're all thinking, yeah, right. It's probably a good thing that you're thinking that. Amen. What's the big deal in worshiping? Because people think, well, you know, I can just stand here, and in my heart, I'm pouring myself out to God. That's good that your heart is pouring yourself out to God. But if that's the only thing that the Bible said that needed to be done to express worship and praise, then that would be okay, but it's not. And so we need to look at the Word, and again, we're Word people in this church. So whatever he says, let's just do it. But John chapter 4, and we're going to, instead of reading the whole account, we're going to pick it up in verse 20. This is the story, and you can go ahead and read it some other time, where Jesus came to a Samaritan woman that was at the well. And remember, he asked her for a drink, and basically said to her, listen, if you knew who I was, you'd be asking me to drink. Like, listen, you need me, you know. And John 4 and verse 20, Jesus is having a conversation with her. And she's, in verse 19, she says, I perceive you're a prophet. In verse 20, it says, our fathers worshipped in this mountain. And you say that in Jerusalem is a place where you ought to worship. And Jesus said to her, woman, believe me. He said, the hour comes when you shall neither in this mountain nor yet at Jerusalem worship the Father. What's Jesus saying? It's not going to matter the city that you're in to worship me. There's coming a time. He says in verse 22, you worship you know not what, or what you don't know. We know what we worship, for salvation is of the Jews. But the hour cometh, and now is. Everybody say, now is.
Now is.
When the true worshipers shall worship the Father in spirit and in truth, for the Father seeketh such to worship him, for God is a spirit, and they that worship him must worship him in spirit and truth. But in verse 23, it says that the hour comes and now is when there's true worshipers. Well, if there's true worshipers, there also can be what? False worshipers. Jesus said in one place, he said, your lips praise me, but your worship is in vain because your heart is far from me. That people can praise God and be a false worshiper. You can do everything that we're telling you to do. Have this, do this, awesome, but inside be dirty, be vengeful, inside be bitter, and that's all fallen short. This needs to match up with this. This needs to line up with this. And so Jesus said the hour comes and now is when there's true worshipers. Well, I want to be a true worshiper of God. I don't want to be a false worshiper of God. You know, praise God, I do believe, I know this is true because I was this way. My wife was this way. My heart was with God. My heart was all about God. I just didn't know what else he required of worship, what he said would bless him in worship. And so it's good to have this. This is where it starts, in here, to have that purity, to have that love for God, to have that desire to worship him and to love him. But then it should show up, excuse me, on the outside. But this is what I want you to see, and this scripture kind of breaks my heart when I look at it this way. In verse 23, it says, the Father seeketh such to worship him. Excuse me. You know, the only time I have to seek for things in my house is when I'm really having a hard time finding them. You know, when I don't have to seek for my television because I know where it is. It's big and it's sitting there, right? I don't have to seek usually for my truck, right? It's just there. It's easy. I know where it is. I know exactly where to go to find it. But I'll tell you what, there's sometimes you ever misplaced your keys or misplaced your credit cards or your wallet or anything, and you are on a mission. You are on a hunt, right? You're seeking it. Why? You're having a hard time finding it. So you're not just casually, you know, walking through the house, just kind of, you know, looking. You're digging through things, right? You're digging through drawers. You're digging through cupboards. You're digging behind the couch, under the couch, all different places. You're digging in the car, down in that little area where things can fall, right? Where all the Cheerios and popcorn and all that good stuff, potato chips fall. You're digging around. Why? You're seeking it because you have a hard time finding it. And the Bible says the Father has to seek people that will truly worship him. That's sad to me. That's sad to me that he can't just casually look down in the earth like I can casually look outside and see my vehicle. I don't have to search for the barn that's on my property. I don't have to search for the trees. Just look out and they're there. But God has to seek people to worship him. Man, that breaks my heart. And so I say, not in this church. God's going to look down here and see true worshipers down here worshiping him. And today we're going to see, what is the big deal with all this? Why do you harp on us? Why do you tell us about this? Well, I'm going to show you. And the number one reason is because the Father's seeking people to worship. So see, number one point didn't take long. See, we're moving right along here. Praise God. Because the Father seeks such to worship him. And because the Bible says there'll be true worshipers. That right there, if you have a pure heart with God, should be your number one reason to say, you know what? I want to be right in my worship. I want to do things right in my worship. I want to look like the Bible in my worship, because my Father, who loves me, who died for me, who gave up his Son, who gave me everything, who gave me heaven, who let me miss hell, who's provided for me, who's become my dad on this earth, he loves me, and so I want to please him. And so I don't want him to have to seek for me. I want him to be able to look at your address, at whatever your address is, fill in the blank, and look at my address and say, there's a worshiper of me. There's someone that's a true worshiper of me. Hallelujah. And, you know, when it says here, it says they'll worship the Father in spirit and in truth, verse 24. In spirit and in truth. Well, part of that's talking about what we talked about in the last series in the baptism of the Holy Ghost. When you pray in unknown tongues, your spirit prays. You can worship God in spirit. But also it's talking about not just worshiping God in the flesh. Worshiping God in the flesh, you know, I've been to places like this where there's a big show before service. I mean, people are dancing, and dancing's not a bad thing. People are shouting, but at times people do that strictly from an emotional, flesh-pleasing type place. You know, some of these Christian concerts, there's nothing spiritual about them. It's all flesh. There's the Spirit of God's not moving there. And so he's talking about an element of that, but it also says worship him in spirit and in truth. Well, the Word of God is truth, right? The Word of God is truth. And so we can find out in the Bible what truth is concerning worship, and we can look that part. And when it comes to worshiping him in spirit, you can worship him by praying in tongues. But also you can worship him by not just being caught up in the flesh, having a heart's cry. There's a difference to an outward emotion and an inward emotion. Amen? And see, that's not easily seen sometimes. I remember this story that Dr. Dufresne, he preaches in Jamestown at the church, in the Fredonia Church, and we'll have him in here sometime. Just changed my life, helped me so much. He's a prophet of God. He stands in that office. His wife tells the story of how this band that you would know if you're in any Christian music was opening the service for him. And they had a raucous worship. Now, Dr. Dufresne knows the Spirit of God. He knows what's flesh. He knows what's the Spirit. You know, we think because we're jumping around and excited that that's the Spirit of God sometimes. Not all the time. Sometimes people do it just to put on the show and, whoa, look at me and draw attention to themselves. Well, anyways, this band thought they hung the moon. They went short of this, but they were almost like giving high fives on the stage. They were so excited at the worship they just did. The church was going berserk, just going crazy. People running, getting excited. Everyone think it was great. Now, those things are good at times if it's done from the spirit place and not just a, oh, look at me, and let's just do something to do something. That's when you get over into the flesh. And Dr. Dufresne got up there, and this is what he said, and the way his wife tells it, it's hilarious. Thousands of people in this church thinking they just hung the moon in worship. And he says, if the anointing of God doesn't come back in 10 minutes, that worship team just chased out that back door. He said, I'm walking off the stage and leaving. Prophet of God said that. He knew there was a difference between they got caught up in the flesh, there was nothing about Jesus, nothing true worship, and he knew that the anointing was gone. He said, if it doesn't come back in 10 minutes, I'm out of there. Praise God. So he called someone specific up, and they played some music, and the Spirit of God came back. And God's not interested all the times in the big shows, right? Now, we're believing for a big worship team, and we're believing for some excellent musicians, but ones that are going to worship God from the heart, not stand up there to try to put on a show, to put on a concert, to show off their musical ability. No, let's show off our talents to God and praise Him. Amen? But when it says we can worship Him in truth as well, praise God, there's things the Bible says that we can be worshipers and we can know, yeah, I'm falling in line with what God says. So number one, the Father seeking such to worship Him. The second point of what's the big deal in worshiping is that we want to be a doer of the Word of God. James chapter 1 and verse 22. Hallelujah. James chapter 1. James is towards the back of the Bible. James chapter 1 and verse 22 says this. But be ye doers of the word, and not hearers only, deceiving your own selves. Verse 23 says this, if any man be a hearer of the word, and not a doer, he is likened unto a man beholding his natural face in a glass. For he beholds himself and goes his way, and straightway forgetteth what manner of man he was. Now verse 25 is what I want you to see here. But whosoever looketh into the perfect law of liberty, by the way, this is the perfect law of liberty, and continues therein, he being not a forgetful hearer, but a doer of the work, this man will, everybody say will, shall is another word for will be blessed in his deed. That's why I said when I was praying this morning, it came up in my spirit, that if everybody would just do the Bible, if everybody would see, okay, the Bible says, I need Jesus as my Savior. Okay, I'm going to believe that. I'm going to accept that. I'm not going to fight against that. Okay, the Bible says, I need a pastor, that I'm scattered and faint without it. Okay, I'm going to do that. The Bible says that I need a tithe, that it'll help the kingdom. And okay, I'm just going to do that. The Bible says to love my spouse, regardless of how they're treating me. Okay, I'm going to do that. The Bible says to do this. I'm going to do it. If people would just do what the Word of God says, they'd be blessed. God, that's why Jesus said, my commandments are not grievous. He didn't put them in here to make your life harder. He put it in here to make your life easier. That by the doing of the word, you'll see things change. One of the biggest misconceptions for unbelievers is they come and they say, I don't want to have to give things up. I don't want to have to be following all these rules and regulations. They're missing the whole thing. They're looking at it from the wrong perspective. This brings life and freedom into your life. There was nothing free about the life I used to live. The drugs, the alcohol, the promiscuous living, the gambling disease that I had. I mean, I had it, and I had it bad. There was nothing free about that, yet I was holding on to those things so much. Just, I don't want to give those up. I want to be able to keep doing those things. And God never said that I had to give them up to get saved. He said, call on my name. And see, when I heard that, I called on his name, and then the Spirit of God came on the inside of me, and then that gave me the ability to start to change. Amen? God's not looking to try to clean his fish before he catches them. Hallelujah. And he's not judging people either, saying, you're too bad, you can't come into my kingdom. No, he says, I just love you. Come in, we'll help you. Praise God. But those things which people say, I don't want to have to give up all that, you don't understand. There's freedom in life when you do the Word of God. When you obey this, it brings blessing. And he says that if you do the Word, you'll be a blessing. So if we'll do the Word in worship, you say, what's the big deal with this worship? Well, if the Bible tells you to do something, and then you say, you know what? I've never seen that before. It's not comfortable to me. It's not what I'm used to. It's not what I grew up in. But you know what? I can't deny that. I just as much as the Bible says in John 3:16 that God so loved the world that he gave his only son, just so much as that as those worship scriptures are in there as well. And I just need to do the word because I want to obey God, but also I want to be blessed. See, people think, well, what's the specific blessing? Well, we'll see some of those things today, but just by being a doer of the word, you're pleasing the Father. You're in favor. You're in God's plan. Glory to God. So he wants you to be a doer of the word. So I want to rattle off to you, and we're going to make Rachel here really get her fingers going. I just see some smoke coming off that computer here in a second. I want to show you concerning, I told you this, that worship looks and sounds like something. It looks like this and it sounds like praise. Worship is not this. God doesn't need your applause. There's one scripture in the Old Testament that tells people to clap their hands. One scripture. Not one place in the New Testament is it mentioned to clap your hands for God. You clap your hands for people, right? When the president walks into the room, you stand up and clap. When someone of great honor walks in, you stand up and clap. God doesn't need your clap. He doesn't want your applause. He wants your praise. Amen? And so I'm going to show you, and like I said, we're going to get, Rachel, you better start warming up those fingers, do some finger exercises, because we're going to go real quick here. But Psalms 28 and verse 2, I want to show you, and I'm really going to put the pressure on her. I'm not even going to look at my own Bible. So praise the Lord. Here's what I want you to see. I'm going to show you about what the Bible says about lifting your hands, and I'm going to ask everybody to just either write them down or look up here, because if you try to flip to every single one of them, that's why I'm not even doing it either, because we just won't be able to do it. Psalms 28 and verse 2, what I'm trying to do is get a point out to you of how much over and over the Bible talks about raising your hands. Now, I'm not even going to get into more than three scriptures about saying out of your mouth, because there is so much in the Bible about praising God with your mouth. All I need to give you is three. Out of the mouth of two or three witnesses, the Bible says. But I'm going to give you a lot for this one. It says, hear the voice of my supplications. When I cry unto you, when I lift up my hands toward thy holy oracle. Psalm 63 and verse 4. This is one we've been looking at in worship. Thus will I bless thee while I live. I will lift up my hands in thy name. Now, this to me says it all, that listen, it blesses the Lord. You say, well, it doesn't bless me. Well, we're not trying to bless you. We're here to bless God today. We're here to hear his word and to enrich our lives. And so it says, thus I will. Now, every single one of these psalms that I'm reading to you, except for when we go to Psalm 119, the author of that's unknown, some people think it was David, is written by King David. And let me point out something about David, and we don't need to flip to the scripture, but in Acts chapter 13, the Bible says that David was a man after God's own heart. A man after God's own heart. One translation said that David had a heart like God. I'll tell you what, I want God to say that about me. Pastor Mikey has a heart just like me. Don't you want God to say that about you? I mean, holy cow, what better thing would there be than to have a heart like the God of love? Amen? And so these are all written by David, King David. And if he has a heart like God, we can follow some things that David did. So I'll bless you, Lord. It blesses the Father. Psalms 119 and verse 148. Hallelujah. Mine eyes prevent the night watches. That's not where I wanted to go. Try verse 48. Let's see what verse 48 says. That's a good one. My hands also will I lift up unto thy commandments, which I have loved, and I will meditate in thy statutes. Praise God, my hands. Psalms 134 and verse 2. Praise God. Lift up your hands in the sanctuary. Well, that doesn't get more any more clear than that. Where are we? We're not in the ballpark right now. But I'll say that. Isn't it interesting? Isn't it interesting that people at ball games, I mean, I know, I've been to ball games, as soon as they score, woohoo! People will do the wave and not think a thing about it, right? People will shout and praise, lift up your hands in the sanctuary and bless the Lord. Hallelujah. Bless the Lord. I had season tickets to the Bills for years when they were in their glory years, man. And every time they score, woo, that place went nuts. People weren't ashamed. The most quiet, reserved person, man, went nuts for that team when they would score. I go nuts for Jesus, amen? And he tells us, in the sanctuary, lift your hands and bless. See, now that's in the Word of God. So if we do that, we'll be obeying God and be a blessing to him. Hallelujah. Psalms 141 and verse 2. I didn't even put all these in here. I just, let my prayer be set forth before you as incense, and the lifting up of my hands is the evening sacrifice. The Bible says that when you lift your hands to God, it's like a sacrifice to him. You know, the only thing I can think of, because I try to think how God thinks, and man, I can't even get close. But when you say stick them up and you rob someone, they hold their hands up, right? Why? It's a sign of I surrender. I surrender. And that's the only thing I can think of is that, Lord, I surrender to you. My life is yours. And it says that it's a sacrifice to do so. Psalms 143 and verse 6. Remember, this is King David now. I stretch forth my hands to you. My soul thirsts after you as a thirsty land. The Bible says the hungry person looks a certain way. A thirsty person that's desiring God. Lord, I need you. I want more of you. There's just something different about this than, oh, I just need you, Father. Okay, let's get out of Psalms. Let's go to Lamentations. Prophet Jeremiah wrote this. Chapter 3 and verse 41. This scripture is something. Lamentations 3, verse 41. Are you ready for this? Let us lift up our heart. How are we going to lift up our heart to God, the Bible tells us? Let us lift up our heart with our what? Hands. Now, he's not talking about you cutting a hole in your chest, reaching in and pulling that heart out and saying, here it is, God. Blood dripping down, nasty hole in your chest. He says, lift up our heart with our hands. How? When you lift up your hands to praise him, what are you doing? You're lifting up your heart to God. You see, when you have a different mindset and you see with the Word, it's not just your crazy pastor trying to tell you to get his church to look a certain way. No, I want my church to look like the Bible. Amen. If I can get my church to look like the Bible, I can get your life looking awesome. I can get your life looking victorious. Glory to God. 1 Kings 8 and verse 54. Hallelujah. And it was so that when Solomon had made, King Solomon, the wisest one, had made an end of praying all this prayer and supplication unto the Lord. He arose from before the altar of the Lord from kneeling on his hands with his hands spread up to heaven. He was on his knees with his arms stretched out to God, a man of God, showing you what it looks like in 1 Timothy 2 and verse 8. And I left out a bunch because we could go on and on. I will, therefore, the will of God, therefore, is that men pray everywhere, lifting up, lifting up, lifting up holy hands, without wrath or doubting. Now let's go to Psalm 34 and verse 1. We've looked at these scriptures before, but I've told you worship looks and sounds like something. Remember, Jesus said that you'll worship according to spirit and truth. Well, truth is the Bible. Because I'll tell you, Psalm 34 verse 1, we'll go to that, because people will tell me, Pastor, leave me alone. I'll leave you alone. I don't think I've ever called anyone and harassed them about how they worshiped. But you know, even when I'm preaching, Pastor, I wish you wouldn't talk about that. Well, you see here, the problem with that is that we're trying to do things our own way, and that never works out well for us, glory to God. And if the truth is to do this, we'll do it. Amen. I will bless the Lord at all times. Well, how are you going to bless the Lord, David? His praise shall be continually in my mouth. He's not talking about rolling around his tongue and swishing it back and forth between his cheeks. He's talking about sounding like something, blessing God. Of course, we know Psalm 63 and verse 3. It's what we look at during worship, but the more we hear it. Because thy loving kindness is better than life, my lips will praise thee. Verse 5. My soul shall be satisfied with marrow and fatness, and my mouth shall praise thee with joyful lips. Hebrews 13 and verse 15. I always like to throw New Testament in there. What does the New Testament say about worshiping God? Hebrews 13 verse 15. By him let us offer, there it is again, sacrifice of praise to God continually. Continually, all the time. That is the fruit of our lips giving thanks to his name. So worship looks and sounds like something. Let me just demonstrate for you, as your pastor, what worship looks and sounds like. Father, I worship you. Father, I thank you for Jesus. Father, thank you so much for all that you've done for me. I just glorify your name. That's what it looks and sounds like. That is what biblical, New Testament, Bible, true worship looks like. Amen? And again, I know we're stepping on some religious, sacred things here. When you start talking and stepping on people's toes with this stuff, when the Bible does, people get very uncomfortable. I want to make sure that I'm not coming from a place of this. I remember being there. I remember it being uncomfortable for me. Man, I remember it. I remember it being so weird and so hard, but man, I said, Lord, I want to be like this. I want to look like this. And so I remember the first day I even just out loud said, thank you, Jesus, for saving me. And I remember the first day that I just got one hand in the air and I thought everybody was looking at me. The funny thing is nobody cares. Nobody's looking at you. And I remember that I got the two hands up and I remember I did everything at the same time. I thought I was going to pass out or something. I couldn't believe. And then I thought, I had to do it so long that my arms would start shaking, you know, my quivering because it hurt. No, just worship God. Stop being religious about it, right? But I want to tell you, and now we're going to look at two benefits of it, and we'll go for it real quick. We're going to look at the effects it has on the service and the effects it has for your life. But I want to tell you, before we look at those, how much a liar the devil is. Because the devil knows the word of God. He does. He quoted it to Jesus. He knows the benefits. And if everybody in this church will look and sound a certain way, remember when they started to build the Tower of Babel? They all sounded the same way, and they were doing it, and they said, we have to confound their language, because if we don't, who knows what they're going to be able to do? They're all on the same page. When you're all on the same page, there's no telling the power we can bring down in this place and in our lives, and the devil knows it. And so he tells you stupid things in your mind like, oh, what an idiot I'll look like. Everybody's looking at me. Nobody gives a poop about what you look like when you worship, right? Nobody cares. It's a lie of the devil. Let me help you with this. Would you all play a game with me? Would everybody participate in this game? Have you ever played Simon Says? I want to prove to you, the Lord gave this to me. I want to prove to you how dumb the devil is. I want to prove to you how Simon Says, say, hi, Pastor.
Hi, Pastor.
Simon Says, right? You got to do what Simon says. Praise the Lord. Simon Says, lift both hands in the air. Okay, Simon says, put your hands down, right? Simon says, say, thank you, Jesus.
Thank you, Jesus.
Simon says, raise your hands in the air. And Simon says, say, thank you, Jesus.
Thank you, Jesus.
Amen. You can put your hands down. Simon says it. Do you see? Now, y'all did that. Y'all just worshiped Jesus. You all just lifted your hands and said, thank you, Jesus. You worshiped like the Bible said. And nothing happened to you. You didn't die. You didn't all of a sudden, you know, your neighbor didn't say you're a weirdo. That's what I'm trying to tell you, is that the devil will lie to you. He will put thoughts in your head. Don't you lift that hand up. Don't you do that. Don't you say anything. Are you going to speak in church? And it's so dumb. And I just proved to you how it's so dumb. We all did it. We all lifted our hands. I know we all can lift our hands. I know we all can praise Jesus. I've just seen it. And if Simon says to do it, how much more that God says to do it? Amen. Anyway, 2 Chronicles 5 and verse 13. I really got a roll here. It always happens this way, doesn't it? Your pastor tries to get 2 Chronicles 5. Now, are you ready? Now, this might get you excited for the two benefits. I care about the body of Christ. I care about each service we get and what God has for us. 2 Chronicles 5 and verse 13. Say, oh, worship doesn't have anything to do with anything. You ready for this? It came to pass, as the trumpeters and singers were one, to make one sound to be heard in praising and thanking the Lord. Now notice this. When they lifted up their voice with the trumpets and with the cymbals. So what we have is here we have instruments going, and we have people lifting their voice together with instruments and music. And they praised the Lord. Now notice this. Saying, which sounds like something, this is what they were all saying. He is good, his mercy endureth forever. He is good, and his mercy endureth forever. He is good, and his mercy endureth forever. Hallelujah. He is good, and his mercy endureth forever. That's what they were saying. That then, everybody say then. After they were worshiping together in one accord, then the house was filled with a cloud. Even the house of the Lord. Now, what did that mean, verse 14? So that the priests could not even stand to minister because of the cloud, by reason of the cloud. For the glory of the Lord had filled the house of God. The glory only came. God always wants to pour his glory into his service. The glory only came after worship ushered it in. Worship set the stage. Worship set the atmosphere. And God's glory came in and everybody was changed and no one left the same. I'll tell you what. You have a service where the glory of God falls, you will walk out being different. It will never be the same for you again. But see, it won't happen because the pastor can pray it down. It won't happen because the pastor's ready, because the pastor's up front shouting and praising God. If I can't get everybody to move as one, they wouldn't have seen the glory had they just sat there with their instruments and fiddled around with them and not praise God. The glory didn't come out. It said then the house was filled. Acts 2 and verse 46. Praise the Lord. Now, if you don't know anything about the early church, which was the Church of Acts, they had miracles. They had signs and wonders. And we wonder, why don't we see the same things as them? Well, we need to start acting like the early church and being like the early church. They were so hungry for God. One minister said they were hungrier than a hoot owl. Right? That's how hungry they were. Yeah. One minister said, he said, I'm one hungry white boy. That's what I feel about myself. I'm one hungry white boy. Praise God. Just want more of God. Hallelujah. It says this in Acts 2 and verse 46. And they, this is the early church, continuing daily with one accord in the temple and breaking bread from house to house, did eat their meat with gladness and singleness of heart. Now notice this. Praising God, what, together, in one accord, and having favor with all the people, and the Lord added to the church daily such as should be saved. A move of God happened. Increase happened in the church when the people were alike. Acts 4 and verse 13. Hallelujah. Now, I'm not going to read this whole story. I'm going to read just a few verses. It says, now when they saw, and these are the leaders of the time, when they saw the boldness of Peter and John and perceived that they were unlearned and ignorant men, they marveled. And they took knowledge of them that they had been with Jesus. Now, skip down until, let's see here. Skip down to verse 19. Because they basically said to Peter and John, you can no longer preach Jesus. That's what they said. You have to stop this. But Peter and John answered and said to them, whether it be right in the sight of God to hearken unto you. They were being threatened with jail time, threatened with things here to stop this. He said, whether it be right in the sight of God to hearken unto you more than God, you judge. For we can't but speak the things that we've seen and heard. Now notice this. So when they had further threatened them, we have no threats here. We have it easy in the body of Christ compared to what they had. When they had further threatened them, and they let them go, finding nothing how they might punish them because of the people, for all men glorified God for that which was done. For the man was above 40 years old on whom this miracle of healing was shown. Basically, there was a miracle done. They preached Jesus, and they got in trouble for him. And being let go, they went to their own company and reported all the chief priests and elders had said unto them. Now notice this. Ready? Yes. And when they heard that, verse 24, they lifted up. Everybody say up. There's times for quiet. There's times for meditation. There's times for reverence and awe before the Lord. But there's also times that we need to lift our voices up to God. They lifted up their voice to God in one accord. That means they were all doing it. And said, Lord, you are God which has made heaven and earth. And they went on and they said something. They were praising and praying to him. Let me see where I want to skip down to. Let's see here. One second. Verse 31, and when they had prayed, now remember, it wasn't just one person doing all the talking and everybody just listened. Remember, they lifted up their voice together in one accord, and when they had prayed, the place was shaken. It was like an earthquake, but a God earthquake, a good earthquake, not a bad earthquake. The place was shaken where they were assembled together, and they were all filled with the Holy Ghost, and they spoke the word of God with boldness. What happened? A move of God happened. In Acts chapter 2, when the Holy Ghost was poured out, they were all in the upper room together in one accord, one mind, one heart. If I can get this church to do this and to praise God from their heart and to not care what their neighbor thinks, to not care what the person behind them thinks, to not care what their spouse thinks, to not care what their boyfriend thinks, to not care what their girlfriend thinks, to not care what their mom thinks, to not care what their dad thinks, to not care what their kids think, and just say, I only care what you think, Father. If we can get a whole group, a whole church saying, I don't give a rip about anything but you, Father, you talk about power. We haven't even scratched the surface of what's possible. And that's why we're teaching this. This is what I want for this church. I want it because it'll bless you. Now, the last thing we'll look at, it has great effects on our personal life. So we've seen that Jesus is seeking it, God's seeking it. We want to be a doer of the word. We've shown you what it looks like to be a doer of the word. It has great effects on a service when people are doing the same thing. And number four, it has great effects on our personal life. Let me just say this. Worship is the voice of faith. Let that sink in. Worship is the voice of faith. When you're believing God for something, your worship will tell me whether or not you are in faith or not. You're rejoicing. You want to know why that it's a big deal that people do this? It's kind of what I alluded to before. Worship takes your mind off you and puts your mind on God. It does. When you start worshiping, when you're going through financial hell, and all you're doing is talking about your financial problems, you're on the phone, you're doing this, when you're going through something in your body, and all you're doing is talking about it, and you're looking up things on Wikipedia and Google and all these things, and when you worship God and you say, Lord, you're Jehovah Rapha, you're the healer, you're taking your focus off you and putting it on the one that matters. Lord, you're Jehovah Jireh. You're the Lord that provides. You're the El Shaddai. You're the God who's more than enough. You meet and supply all my needs. I praise you. I thank you. This is going to turn out. You're taking your focus off of you and putting it on the one that's going to change everything. It's true. Hallelujah. Joshua 6 and verse 1. Say, this is a worship business. What does it really matter? It matters a whole lot. Joshua 6. In verse 1. Now, I don't have time to read this to you. Read down through this chapter sometime. Let me tell you what the story was. This is when the children of Israel were going to take the city of Jericho that God said was theirs, part of the promised land, and they went in there, and there was already a city, there was already walls. And remember he told the children of Israel, he said, march around it 6 days, march around the whole city for 6 days straight. On the seventh day, march around it seven times, right? And then the musicians are going to start playing, and then I want you all to shout and scream and rejoice all together after you go around the building. Seven times on the seventh day, I want you to shout, rejoice, and scream. Now, here's the thing. There were people on the other side of that wall that wanted to hurt them, that wanted to take them prisoner, that didn't want to just give up freely what was theirs. Amen? And the Lord says, don't go in there armed to the gills. Don't go in there firing your guns away. Don't go in there with an ambush attack. No, he says, don't even sneak in. March around the whole city seven times. On the seventh time, begin to blow your instruments and begin to shout. Now, they could in their own mind say, God has lost his mind. The Lord is crazy. I am not doing that. And guess what would have happened had they not listened? They would have been taken captive. They would have not had got the city of Jericho. It would have not became the children of Israel. But guess what they did? They said, Lord, you said it. Lord said to lift your hands. Lord said to praise God. Lord, I don't understand it, but you said it. Lord, I don't understand why marching around a city seven times, blowing an instrument against these walls and shouting is going to do anything about it. But because you said it, I'm going to do it. And you know what they did? Marched around seven times. They began to blow on the instruments, and they began to shout. And what happened? The walls came down. You say, what does shouting and what does praising have to do with anything about walls coming down? I don't know. I just know that's what God said to do. What does raising your hands and shouting in service and praising and rejoicing God out loud have to do with anything? I don't know. He just said to do it, right? And that's what, stop questioning things. People question it. There was a time, I remember this story. One of the most reserved people there were. The Lord said in the middle of a service, there was some praising and rejoicing going on. They were so reserved. Said, get up and run around that church as fast as you can right now rejoicing. They didn't question it. They did it, and guess what? Supernaturally healed in their body. What does getting up, running around a church have to do with supernaturally healing your body? I don't know. But God said to do it, and they did it, and they got healed. God told a woman in the Bible that was in extreme debt, that was about to lose her kids. He said, go borrow from your neighbors. She had a little bit of oil in her jar. He said, go borrow all the vessels from your neighbors. Get as many as you can and start dumping the little oil you have. And she started questioning. Just do it. What does taking a little bit of oil have to do with it borrowing everybody else's vessels that you just dump a little bit in, you're going to be empty? I don't know. But she did it, obeyed God. And guess what? The oil never stopped coming. It never stopped. The Lord told a widow woman who was about to die, eat her last meal with her son. He said, make the prophet a meal first. Feed the prophet before you feed your starving son and your own starving self. And she said, I have one meal left and I'm going to die after I eat it. He said, feed them first. Feed them first. Or feed the prophet first. What does her having to do with taking her one meal, feeding the prophet, withholding it from her son, withholding it from herself, what does it have to do with getting her out of her situation? I don't know. But God said to do it, and guess what? She prospered for the rest of her life. Her food never went out. She just kept prospering and prospering, and that woman that would borrow the oil, supernatural debts. You see, if you'll just start obeying God and stop questioning it. Yeah. The Lord told me to sow an offering one time. that told me a specific amount. I didn't have the money. I had to borrow the money to sow this offering. Now, that, don't go out taking a loan into our building program unless God told you to do it, because if you do it, you might end up broke. There's been people that have given away cars and had to walk for a while because God didn't tell them to do it, right? They heard a story. There was a story in Rhema. God said, give away a car. They did. The next day, they got a brand new car. Everybody heard about that? So everybody started giving away their cars. Guess what? They started walking a lot. Spirit of God sometimes, you know, the Spirit of God told me to give an amount. I didn't have it. I had to get it. I had to borrow it somehow. And I did. And I sowed that seed, and I can't even tell you the harvest that came from that thing. Why? The Lord specifically told me to do something. Told the children, shout, rejoice, go around, blow the trumpet. Acts 16 and verse 19, and we'll close. Stop questioning it. Just do it. Lord, why do you like hands raised? I don't know why you do, but you do. It blesses you, so I'm going to do it. It's not about me. Oh, wait, stop looking at your Bible. That's a news flash. Did you know that it's not about you? I mean, I know that that is really shocking, and sometimes it shocks my flesh that, everything's not about me? What do you mean it's not about me? Everything's about me, right? It's not about you. It's always about Him. Worship is not supposed to be about, I'm comfortable, or that's what I'm used to doing, or that's what I like doing. When did it ever become about you? It became about pleasing Him, right? Amen? Oh, you guys are awesome. Praise the Lord. Acts chapter 16 and verse 19. This is the story. I'm going to skip down to save time. When Paul and Silas were put in prison. Hallelujah. Actually, drop down, Rachel, to verse 24. Remember, they did a great work of God. They got thrown in prison, verse 24. Who, having received such a charge, thrust them into stocks. This was Paul and Silas. Into the inner prison and made their feet fast in the stocks. Now, before it says they stripped them, they whooped them, and they threw them in the prison. That sounds like a lot of fun. Now, do you tell me what they felt like doing that night. I'll tell you what I'd feel like doing. Saying swear words that I never even heard of. Right? Complaining. Right. Don't look at me all religious, because you would do the same thing. You'd want to do the same thing, right? You want to complain. You'd want to moan and groan. You'd want to say to God, but God, I've been tithing. I've been going to church. I've been doing all this. They were in a place that God told them to go to, and they ended up in prison naked, beaten. Yeah. And guess what they were doing? At verse 25, and at midnight, Paul and Silas groped and moaned and griped and complained and cursed and said, I ain't going back to that church. No, that pastor told me about faith, and look what's happened. No. At midnight, Paul and Silas prayed and sang praises to God. And the prisoners heard them, and suddenly there was a great earthquake. There it is again. People praising God and things changing. And the foundations of the prisons were shaken, and immediately all the doors were open, and everyone's bands were loosed. What does praising God have anything to do with busting you out of prison? I don't know. But you want to see walls fall in your life? You want to see bonds and chains and things bust off of you? People are doing too much praying and not enough praising. There's been times where I said, stop praying about this and start praising me about it. You know, it's like we got a bill in the mail once that we couldn't pay, and I started to pray about it, and the Lord said, I already told you in Philippians 4:19 I'd meet your needs. Courtney came to me, she said, what are we going to do? I said, we're going to act like the Bible's true. And we got on our knees with that bill, and we said, Lord, we praise you that this thing's taken care of. Father, we thank you that this is supernaturally gone. You're the God who parted the Red Sea. You're surely the God that's going to pay this bill. 3 days later, a check for $1,400 unexpectedly from out of the blue came in the mailbox for us. And you say, well, it's because you're a pastor. Wasn't a pastor. Hallelujah. I have to say this because people get this wrong. They think, well, yeah, people bless you. 90% of the blessings that I get come from people outside of the church. What you have in your life isn't because of what you deserve. It's because what you believed God for. Remember that. Because people think, well, you're a pastor and people bless you and they're kind to you. 90%, if not higher, of the things that I get that come into my life blessings-wise. When I went through that supernatural debt reduction of $60,000 in 2 years, and remember I had the person that hates me give me the check for $9,000, and I had the person that hates me, man, you say, well, boy, a lot of people hate you. I know. And give me, how could you hate a guy like this, right? I mean, I'm just trying to be sweet to everybody. And paid for my transmission of my car, out of the blue paid for it, not Christians, not people in my church, not people in the body of Christ. The majority of the blessings that I get come from out. Well, I believe God for them. Just so you know, I don't rely on you for my life, right? You know, just like you shouldn't rely on me. Rely on God. Amen? Hallelujah. So let's just be people that worship him and praise him. And I went longer than I ever go on a Sunday, and I told you I was going to be quick. So now I have to repent for lying. Praise God. So, hallelujah, let's pray. Father, we thank you for your word this morning. Lord, you know my heart and why I'm preaching this. Father, I could care less when any traveling minister would come in and look at our church, or when Pastor Michael visits, or when other people come into this church. Father, I could care less. I just want my church to look like the Bible. Father, my heart is for people to be blessed. My heart is for your plan to be blessed. Lord, I see in the word when people worshiped you, when they stopped thinking about themselves and started thinking about you, that you were able to move and great things happened. And Father, I see when people just rejoiced how chains were broken, how prison doors were open, how walls fell. Well, there's people that are in prison in this life. And I don't mean the natural jail cell. They're in prison financially. They're in prison physically. They're in prison in their thought life and depression and anxiety and fear. Father, we need to just start praising you and rejoicing you for that, Father. Hallelujah. Lord, we love you. We glorify you here this morning. We thank you for your goodness. We thank you for your goodness, Father. We love you. We love you. We praise you. I just want to give everybody an opportunity to be a doer of the word. Just right now, do something you've never done before. Just begin to praise him. Begin to thank him for Jesus. Let's just lift our voice. Nobody cares if they hear you. Nobody cares. Nobody's looking around. In fact, everybody close your eyes and begin to worship him. Nobody cares if you lift your hands. I'm not even going to look out into the crowd. Let's just lift our hands right now. You know, Simon says to do it. God says, just lift your hands and rejoice. Kick the devil between the eyes and just thank him for Jesus. Say, I'm not sure what to say. Thank him for Jesus. Even if you have to say, thank you, Jesus, over and over and over again. Father, we magnify you. We glorify you. We worship you, Father. We thank you for your mercy. We thank you for your goodness. We thank you for your love and your kindness. Father, we're being doers of the word right now. You're pleased and you're blessed this morning. Hallelujah. Father, we glorify you. We thank you. Father, I thank you that this church is a church of doers of the word. I thank you're going to move mighty in their lives. Father, I thank you things are changing in their lives. I thank you as they'll get alone with you, Father, and they'll start rejoicing you for the outcome of that problem that they're going through. I thank you things begin to change. Destinies begin to overturn. Promotion comes in. Favor comes in. Blessing comes in, Father. Wisdom, ideas, divine knowledge, divine inspiration, Father. We glorify and we thank you for it, Father. In Jesus' name, now, if we could have everybody's heads bowed still, eyes closed. If you've never received Jesus, or if you're listening to this message online and you want to receive Jesus, the Bible says if you call on the name of the Lord, you'll be saved. If you call on the name of the Lord, you'll be saved. If you've never accepted Jesus, how do you know? Ask yourself this question. If today were my last day on planet Earth, would I go to heaven? If your answer isn't yes, that means you need Jesus. If your answer isn't yes, that means you need Jesus. Is there anybody here, heads bowed and eyes closed, you want to receive Jesus? Just lift your hand in the air if you've never have before. If you've done this, you don't have to do it again. Even if you, I see that hand, you can put it down. Praise God. If you have done it before, you don't have to do it again, even if you had a bad week. You know, there might be people online too that need this. Let's all just pray this together with a spirit of faith. Everybody say this. Say, Lord Jesus, I believe you died on the cross for my sins. I believe you rose again from the dead.
I believe you rose again from the dead.
And I ask you to come into my life.
I ask you to come into my life.
In Jesus' name.
In Jesus' name.
Amen. Rachel, before you stop the live stream, could I get mercy from everybody for one more minute?
Yes.
This came in my heart. Will you look at Isaiah 61? There's somebody in here that desperately needs this right now, and it'll be your answer. And when we got to praising like that, it came into my spirit, and it doesn't surprise me. Isaiah 61. How many of you know, I know what it's like to be depressed. I know what it's like to be in the most deepest, darkest depression that you think the only way out is to end your life. Let me show you something in the Bible that God's given you for stuff like that. Isaiah 61 and verse 3. We're going to put it up on the screen. To appoint unto them that mourn in Zion, to give them beauty for ashes, the oil of joy for mourning. Now, ready for this? The garment of praise for is a purpose for praise, the spirit of heaviness. You can look up here real quick. I never understood why I always wanted to kill myself from about ninth grade until 2002, about 12 or 13 years straight, not a day went by when I didn't think about taking my life. I had a good life, a good family, excelled in sports, I had friends. I was friends with popular and unpopular. I mean, there was no natural reason, but every day it's all I could think of. I know now it was a spirit. It was this devil trying to destroy me. I didn't know that back then, but I know now. But that spirit of heaviness, it was like every day there was a black cloud over me trying to keep me down. The Bible says the garment of praise is for the spirit of heaviness. That spirit of heaviness gets kicked between the eyes when people start rejoicing and praising God. If you're suffering depression, if you're suffering wrong thoughts of suicide and depression and worthlessness, and you just feel like that cloud is there, start praising God. It will blast that thing out of the water. Why? Because God said it would. And you know what the garment of praise is? It's like a coat. You know, in the wintertime, sometimes when we take Caleb or Abby out, she's really never seen the winter that much, but if we take them outside, it's sometimes a pain in the rear to load them up with snowsuit and boots and hats, but we do that not because we feel like doing it, but because it's the right thing to put those garments on. You say, when I'm depressed and suicidal and feel like this, that's the last thing I want to do is praise God. Garment, just put it on. You don't feel like putting that coat on, just put it on. Just begin to rejoice. Begin to praise God for it. Amen? This is a supernatural. I'll tell you what, I believe it came because I didn't look out, but I believe people raised their hands today. I believe people actually praised God out of their mouth. And God dropped this into my heart. And now because of that, God dropping that in my heart, we got to see that verse. And now somebody's going to walk out of here and know their answer for their depression. Just begin to rejoice God and praise Him and watch it turn around. Amen? You guys are awesome. We'll see everybody Wednesday night, 6:30. You are dismissed.